Well, if you were here last week, then you may be surprised at why we're already reading in Acts chapter 13. You may wonder that maybe you slept too long and missed a number of Sundays. And that's true. No, really, it's not true. But we want to we want to take some time this morning to look at how the Holy Spirit, how the apostles, how they presented the good news of Jesus to the Jews. And we'll have a chance to do that here in just a moment. I want to say thanks to Kevin for the lesson for the children and for the parents risking letting the children come. And one of the great things about kids is God put the wiggles in there, so if the wiggles come out, that's just great. But don't we have beautiful children? And Kevin, today is a live day. That is true. And the virtue today at live is wisdom. That's what I've heard from Kevin. So thank you for all that. Appreciate it. We are trying to be God's people. We're trying to be God's people in the heart of Austin. We're trying to have the right words to say and the right attitude in our hearts as we say these words. And so we want to hear from the book of Acts as we hear this fifth gospel or the Acts of the Holy Spirit or the Acts of the Apostles or however you picture it. As we hear these early days and we hear the words from these early days, we want to try these words on and know them so that when we're in similar circumstances to where the apostles and other evangelists were, we can have these same words to be our words. And so this morning, you may be thinking of what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. You may think, if you'd like, of what Peter preached in Acts chapter 3. And now we're going to add to that what Paul preached on his first missionary journey to those who were the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles in the city of Antioch of Pisidia, which is a city in what is now Turkey. And we will look at this material and then we'll talk about it a little bit. We just read this, but let's just walk through this a bit. Paul stands up and he talks to the Israelites gathered there, the Jews, about their heritage that they have in God. That God has chosen them. And He made them prosper at times, even when they were in Egypt and He led them out of that country. He endured their conduct in the wilderness. I love that phrase, don't you? It wasn't joyful for God, but God was benefiting them. But already they were rebellious. God endured their conduct in the wilderness and then gave them the gift of the land that they would have in Palestine. He gave them judges and then they asked for a king. And when Paul says this, I believe those who are gathered there remember that God was happy being their king. Their request for a king was a sign of their stubbornness. And so the people that God had endured in the wilderness are now suddenly people He's enduring in the promised land. Saul became the king. Saul didn't work out too well. He didn't work out too well. And so finally he finds David. And David is a great king. He is the man after God's own heart. And even at that, he doesn't get exactly an A on all of his report cards. From the house of David, God has brought a Savior. And so now, in Antioch of Pisidia, in the very same way that Peter had told the Jews in Jerusalem, now Paul, hundreds of miles away, tells these Jewish people, now you have a Savior who is the Son of David. David has been announced in the preaching of John the Baptist, and you understand that. Salvation has come. The people of Jerusalem didn't recognize Jesus, even though He came fulfilling all of the prophecy. Now they have asked Pilate to have him crucified, and they took him off the cross and they buried him in the tomb. They did this even though he was innocent. And God raised him from the dead. And now we are his witnesses. It's an amazing story, really. We tell you the good news. What God has promised for a long, long time to a people who've been rebellious for a long, long time, that promise has finally been delivered. And the people who were to receive the promise have killed the man of promise. But God has raised him from the dead. God's resurrection of Jesus from the dead is declared in the Psalms. And now the promise to David is fulfilled. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Now, this is quite a sermon to preach to a congregation of Gentile folks. I don't know if you knew you were Gentile folks, but you're Gentile folks. You're not sitting there thinking about your ancestry. But I want you to think about this sermon in a different way. Paul is proclaiming good news of release to the people who have been held under the domination of a faith that is actually rooted in the God who is really God. These are the Jews, and some are no doubt serving God from a good and honest heart, but in many ways, all across the Jewish faith, the worship of God has morphed into a keeping of rules, a mere offering of sacrifices, a dead and leaden relationship with the Word of God. The life in a living relationship with God has been traded for a legal and obedience-based and shame-based affiliation with a set of thou shalt and thou shalt not. And so Peter and Paul and the rest of the apostles and those who have become evangelists for Jesus Christ have a word that begins as a word to the religious people. Begins a word of salvation to those who already believe in God, who already respect in some ways the Scriptures. It is a word of release to the Jews. And sometimes, inside the body of the church, I think this is a good message to proclaim. Because always, the evil one who stalks the world and stalks the church, the evil one always comes to us trying to turn us from the worship of the living God to some idol we would erect in place of the living God, even if that idol is our own faith. Even if that idol is our own approach to Scripture. Even if that idol is our own set of thou shalt and thou shalt not. Even if it becomes the idol of our own legalism within the life of our churches. It's as if our living faith develops this kind of arthritis This living faith develops this kind of paralysis. This living faith develops this kind of laziness. And instead of our focus being on the crucified Christ and the risen Christ and the power of the gospel and the coming of the kingdom, we can become a people who are just about the synagogue, just about the place where you go for the reading of the scriptures and the remembering of the old stories. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, I become a person who has a dead faith, that I come on occasion to remember like some artifact. I told my friends, and I think I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you a lot of things I've told you before. I told my friends that here in Austin, we're across the street from the Bullock and right next to the Blanton. And my job is to make sure that this church doesn't become the third museum on MLK. And they always laugh. But what they don't know is how much the evil one wants to make this a museum. And to turn us into those who come on a weekly basis to the museum to think about the past and to think about those old days and to lose our way in some love of history. But the last word in Paul's sermon is from Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Take care that what the prophets have said doesn't happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. It's going to be that good. And that's the message that we want to talk about to you today. God has moved heaven and earth to bring Jesus Christ into the world. And we are human beings who have this long heritage of being the recipients of God's blessing, blessing after blessing, and yet not turning to Him as we should. And those of us who have been long in faith, we've grown up in churches, we have grown up having parents who were faithful, we've grown up in faith, often find ourselves leaning on the faith of our parents, leaning on faith remembered. But Paul walks into the synagogue in Antioch and says to these people, I know you have a faith remembered, but I'm here to announce to you what God is doing in your day. What God is doing now. What God is moving in the world. How the Spirit is working. How the salvation has come. And that's the message that we have today. I think the woman in Samaria would love what Paul's doing, because she had heard from Jesus in John 4. She had heard Jesus tell her as a Samaritan that a day is coming when you're not going to worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem, but you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. The message that she heard in John 4, now these Jews are hearing in Antioch of Pisidia. They're hearing a message that says, it is not a matter now of going back to a temple in Jerusalem and remembering the old days. Now it's not a matter of going back to the temple in Jerusalem and offering the old sacrifices. Now there is a Savior. Now there is a sacrifice. Now there is a new relationship in Christ. Now it's time to embrace what God has done for you now that overwhelms every other memory you have from your faith before. I think the lady in Samaria would smile at the Jews hearing that their mountain wasn't the mountain anymore either. And this morning we hear that whatever our mountains have been, whatever our holy places have been, whatever we've turned into our idol and our safe place and our default position, the place where we can justify ourselves and the place where we can make ourselves comfortable, all of those places are destroyed now. And Jesus Christ walks into the room. The Holy Spirit walks into the room and says, now something new has happened. Now something that you can hardly imagine is happening. Now salvation has come to you. And so we pick ourselves up and we say, my life in Christ is about who Christ is to me right now. My life in Christ is what Christ calls to me in forgiveness down deep into my heart now. I am forgiven, and I sense that in my soul down to the deepest core of my life. I sense that forgiveness. And I have the call of God draped over me. And I have the forgiveness of God draped over me. I have the Spirit of God draped over me. I am no longer tied to my temple in Jerusalem. I'm no longer tied to my synagogue in Antioch. I'm no longer tied to anything except the inbreaking of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. I want you to know this is a great day when Paul goes to Antioch of Pisidia. And I want you to know that today is a great day. It is a new day. It is a day of the proclamation of Jesus Christ. And it overwhelms everything in our past. It becomes a new message in us. It is a fountain that dwells up within us. It is a new outbreaking of the Spirit. It is a new forgiveness today. It is a new day of salvation. Every day in Christ is new. Every day. And we resist with everything that's in us the urge, the inertia, the spiritual thermodynamics that wants your faith, that wants my faith to age and callous and calcify. Our faith, our salvation is a constantly new wine, always bursting out of the old wineskin of yesterday, creating the opportunities and the joy and the realities of Christian faith today. And I can feel, you know, somebody in the audience going, George, what's he talking about? Well, I don't know who George is. But there is a frontier of faith. There is a cutting edge of faith. There is an immediacy of Christ. There is a refreshment of the Spirit that we can share together. That is on the cutting edge of the breaking of the kingdom of God, of the salvation of Christ into the world. As a church, as families, as individuals, we should seek to be on that fresh edge of God's work in the world. So that God might be glorified in everything we do, and we never, ever say, our work is done, our best memories are past, Those things which cause us to be Christian are artifacts and museum pieces. God is always present. Christ is always with us. And we are always living in this new day. Down deep in your heart, know it. And be excited about what God is about today. And about the freedom that we have from tradition, from legal constraints, from boredom, from death that has kept our spirits low and kept our light dim. May we embrace the salvation that is today. Let's stand and sing together.